Daf Mem Alf. So we got to the very last line, last two words of Mem on a base, the Gemara's Ikadami we have been discussing. Wish you could have finished this yesterday. It's more in yesterday's topic, but let's just finish it up. The Ikadami, that those who say, Bishmar, I understand the one who says Laman Damar Tamri Dezika, that the definition of the Mishnah when it says Novlos Tamar, that's referring to the Tamri Dezika, which means the dates that fell from the wind. Hainu Dahacha Karle Novlos Stama. That's why our Mishnah says Novlos Stama, Vahasam Karle Tamar. Because there are two different types of dates. Our Mishnah is talking about dates that were burnt by the sun, and the Mishnah on the Demai is talking about dates that were knocked down by the wind. Two different types of dates. So one's called Stam Novos, and one's called Tam of the Novos Tamar. And the Man Damar Bushli Kamer, the one who says that not only is our Mishnah here referring to dates burnt by the sun, but even the Mishnah in Demai also are referring to dates burnt by the sun. Nisnei Idiv Idi should be consistent and used in both places either. Call them both Novlos Tamara, or both places, Idividi, Novlos Stama. How can one our Mishnah is calling them Stam Novlos, and the Mishnah, the Maya is calling them Novlos Tamara, if they are both talking about the same type of dates, namely those that were burnt by the sun? And the Gemara finished off as a kasha, we don't have a good answer. The Gemara now says, Hayu lefan of minim harbe v'chul. The person is sitting in front of a number of different types of fruits, so what should you do? So we had a machlokis in the Mishnah, that according to the Tanakama had said, you choose the one that the one that you want, and Rabbi Huda said, you go based on the Shiva Saminim. So the Gemara now says, Amar Ula Ula says, Machlokes Bisha Kisha Bisha Bichosein Shavos. This is all true when they have the same bracha, meaning they're all ha'ets. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Min Shiva Adif. Better to choose a Shiva Saminim. Rabban Savar Min Chaviv Adif. That which you prefer is better. Aval b'she'ein b'chosayin shavos, when the brachas are not equal, divrakol mevarach hazeh uvechozim mevarach hazeh, everyone agrees that you say a separate brach on each of them. So let's say you have, I don't know, an apple and a radish, so you have to say a separate bracha ha'et, and you have to say a separate bracha on the adama. You can't say an adama on the radish and have that cover the apple as well. Even though we learned in the Mishnah that b'di'eved, adama works on all fruit, you can't l'chadchila say adama on both items. You have to say a ha'et on the apple and adama on the radish. Now, interesting here, what comes out, when the brachos are equal, you have fruits that are both ha'ets, you should choose, v'paskin, you should choose a shivas haminim. This becomes very relevant, le'er Rosh Hashanah. When you have all the simanim, so you have an apple, and then you have a rimon, and you have a tamar, you have a date, so what should you say the bracha on? So many of the practice of saying the bracha on the apple, because everyone, you have an apple to have a sweet new year, you dip the apple in the honey, so people say the bracha on the apple, but the Rosh Hashanah points out that that's incorrect. It's not one of the Shivas Aminim. If you have a pomegranate there, you have dates that are there, you have figs that are there, you have to say the bracha on the Shivas Aminim according to the order, which we'll see later on, which of the Shivas Aminim are higher, but not to say the bracha on the apple. So that's incorrect according to Rishon Zalman. So he says you should taka say the bracha on the Shivas Aminim. You want a dafka say on the apple, so he recommends and leave all the stuff inside, bring the apple out, only the apple on the table, and then there's no shiloh. And then after you've said the bracha on the apple, so then you can bring the other items as well. Others say, no, the minhag is to say in the apple, and then that you could continue that practice if one wanted to.
Which order did he go in there?
We'll have to see that in the Gemara later on. So then the Gemara says, Meisvi asks the Gemara, how you lefan of tsunon v'zayis? A person has this radish and there's olives. A radish is in adama, and a zayis and olive is in ha'etz. So which one do you say? Mevarach al hatsunon upotes azayis. So here we see, you say the bracha of adama and tsunon, and that covers even the zayis. So we do say, even when the brachas are different brachas, one to adama, one to eitz, you can have one bracha except the other. To which the Gemara responds, hacha b'maya skin, what's the case here? Kishat tsunon ikr. That's only when the radish is ikr. There's some type of mixture where there's tsunon and zayis. So since it's tsunon is the ikr, the adama is going to exempt the zayis. But ihachi, that's the case, ema seifa. The Seifa says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevarach al hazayis, shezayis mimin shiva. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even if there's a mixture and there's an olive there, the olive is one of the shivas aminim, you should say ha'et on the zayis. How could that be? Less later, Rabbi Yehuda, does he not hold to the Mishnah, haditznan? Kol shehu ikr, v'imo tfeila, Mevarach al ha'ikr, upotis ha'tfeila? We have a klal, a principle, which seemingly everyone holds of, that whenever there's a mixture, the ikr, the primary item, always exempts the secondary item. So if this is really a true ikr v'tafel, how can you say the bracha on the tafel? On the zayas? V'chi tame, if you're going to say hachanami lesle, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of this klal of ikr v'tafel. So if you say he rejects the klal, but that can't be true. V'hatani, the braisa clearly states from Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im machmas tznon ba'zayas, if you know, you're having a radish and olives, and the radish is the cause to bring the olive, meaning the olive is secondary. So then, Mevarach Atzno Nepotes Azayis. So Yehuda himself agrees that if the radish is the ikker, and you only bring in the olive to enhance the radish that's known, you say Adama that's known, that exempts the olive. So clearly he holds that there's a concept of the ikker tafel. So then how come he says in the case above that you should say the bracha on the zayis instead of the bracha on the tznon, if the zayis is really the tafel? So the Gemara says, li'olam b'tznon ikker askinim. We're really talking about a case where the tznon's the ikker, and that's why you say adama, and that exempts the zayis, which is only tafel. V'chi pligi Rabbi Yehuda Rabban. When do they argue about saying the bracha on the zayis versus the tznon? That's a different situation. That's not where there's a mixture. B'mil sacharisi pligi. That's a different topic. What's that topic? V'chasur mechsen. Something was missing. So the Gemara is now going to re-present the discussion as follows. V'hachi katani. Hayu l'fanav tznon v'zayis. If you have in front of you a radish, you have in front of you an olive. Mevarach al tznon u'potes azayis. That you say the bracha of Adam on the stone, and that's going to exempt the bracha for the olive. When is that true? Only b'medvam amurim kishat tznon ikker, when the radish is the primary item in the mixture. Aval einat tznon ikker, if the tznon is not ikker, then divri akol, meaning there's no mixture to speak of, divri akol mevarach alzeh, v'choz mevarach alzeh, you say two separate brachas, one in the olive and one on the radish. V'shnei minim ba'alma, in general, shebirchoseim shavos, when you have, in general, two different minim that have the same bracha, they're both ha'etz, let's say, Mevarach al ezem em shayirtza. The Tanakhama says you choose whichever one you want. And Rabbi Yehuda omer, Mevarach al hazayis, shezayis, mimin shiva. You should choose the shiva samim. So let's be clear. If there's a mixture, you always go based on the ikker. Wherever the ikker is, ikker v'tafel, you ikker covers the secondary one. If the brachos are different, so then you have separate brachas. You say ha'eit separately from the adama. If the two minim are the same bracha ha'eit, so then you have the machlokas. Either you go for that which is chaviv to you, or you choose, if one of them is shivat aminim, we have to choose the shivat aminim, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is how we pask. So Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here in Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Pligi ba Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. They have a machlokas. Chad Amar, one holds machlokas b'shibirchisayin shavos, when the brachas of the two items are equal. De Rabbi Yehuda savra min shiva adif, Rabbanan savra min chaviv adif. So when you have a combination of different fruits that all have eights, Rabbi Yehuda says you always opt for the shivas aminim, and Rabban say no, you opt for whatever one you prefer. Aval b'she'ein birchasan shavos, when the brachas are not the same, so then divya kol mevarach hazeh v'chol zeh mevarach hazeh. Everyone agrees you say separate brachas in each one. That's what we've been understanding up until now. But Chad Amar, one of them felt that the discussion is differently. It gets a little confusing now. V'chad Amar, af b'she'ein birchasan shavos nami machlokes. So even when there are different brachas, one's a eitz, one's a hadama, there still exists a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban. So what's a machlokas? The Gemara is trying to understand. Bishma, I understand the man damar bishir berchosein shavos, when the brachas are equal, there's a machlokas shaper, that makes sense. You have two fruits in front of you, so that which should you say the bracha on? Should it be the apple or should it be the pomegranate? That I get. Ela the man damar bishayin berchosein shavos pligi. But my pligi, if they're arguing about a situation where they have different brachos, one's an adama, one's a eitz, what's the machlokas? Won't everyone hold that they both deserve its own bracha? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah lahaktim, in terms of the order of preference, which bracha you should say first. I have a potato, and I have a pomegranate. Which should I say first? So Rabbanan say you should say that which you like. I like the potato more than I like the pomegranate. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the pomegranate's more chashuv objectively. It's one of the shivat aminim, so the pomegranate should be said before saying a bracha on the potato. The Gemara explains that the question is lahaktim. So the Gemara says, Damar Rabbi Yosef, Yisema Rabbi Yitzchak, kol ha-muktim b'pasuk, zeh muktim lebracha. That which is in order, that which is presented first in the pasuk listing the shivat aminim, that should be the first in terms of the bracha. So it's just like there's an order of which of the shivat aminim to say the bracha on, there's also an order of which bracha to say first of, you know, hamotzi, and mezonos, and agafen, and ha'etz, and adama. There's also an order of bracha. There's a hierarchy. So the Gemara explains that this concept of kol ha-muktim b'pasuk zeh, muktim lebracha, whichever is listed first in the pasuk, is going to be first in terms of the bracha. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Eretz chita v'sa'ora, v'gefen v'te'ena v'rimon, Eretz zeh shemen v'dvash. So these are the shivas aminim, and in order of chita, sa'ora, and so on, that's what you should say the bracha on first. That first which has one of the five grains, and then grapes, and then figs, pomegranates, olive oil, olives, and honey. We'll see later on the Beis how even that's not such a clear order. I should say dvash tamarim. Dvash really dvash tamarim dates. Oh, dates. Lav dafka honey dates, but dates, yeah. The Gemara then says, "Upligi the Rabbi Chanan, the Rabbi Chanan, call pasuk kula l'shirim." He says, "No, this pasuk of listing the different shivas aminim is not to teach me the chiddush of which bracha to say first, which food to say the bracha on first. Rather, it's teaching me something about a different topic about shiurim. Each of the shivas aminim represent a certain concept of in shiurim, as we'll see." As he explains, that call pasuk kula l'shirim emar chita. Why do we have chita? Chita is there to tell me a chiddush in a certain shiur. What's the shiur? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us that hanichnas lebeis hamenuga. If you walk into a house that has neged saras on it, so that neged saras is going to be metame the individual who walks in. So the Mishnah says again, hanichnas lebeis hamenuga v'kelev al kseifav. He's carrying some pots and pans, some clothing on his shoulder. He's not wearing them, but he's carrying them. V'sandala v'tabosa b'yadav. He's holding some shoes. He's holding some rings. He's not wearing them. He's just holding items. Who v'hein tamem miyad? When he enters in and all the property and clothing and kelim that he's holding, they all immediately become tamei. However, hayalavush kelav, if he's wearing clothing, v'sandala baraglav, and he's got shoes on his feet, v'tabosa betzbosav, and there's rings on his fingers, hu tamei miyad, he, the individual, the gavra, becomes tamei immediately, v'hein taurin ad sheshe b'chdei achlias pras. But with regards to the items he's wearing, his clothing, his jewelry, that remains tahor, and still he remains in the house for a period of time. It takes a person to eat bread, k'dei achlias pras. And when you calculate how long it takes to eat a loaf of bread, the Gemara says, pas chitin v'lo pas sorum. How long it takes a person to eat a measure of wheat bread as opposed to the measure of barley bread. So Rashi explains here that in terms of the base of menuga, base of psukim, that when a person immediately walks in, so then he becomes tameh, but he doesn't say you have to wash your clothing when you walk into a house. So washing clothing doesn't take place until it says a different pasuk, one who eats in a base achila, in a base of menuga, then he also has to wash his clothing. So what's the difference of entering in to the house where there's no washing of clothing versus eating in the house and you do have to wash your clothing? It's because when a person's in the house, the shear, the amount of time it takes to eat a bread, even though he doesn't actually eat, only after that period of time is it also going to contaminate the clothing that he's wearing. So do you see the significance of chita? Chita is used as the model of how long it takes you to eat a loaf of bread, of wheat. That's going to tell you and dictate when the clothing of such a person will become tamei. So Rashi points out that it takes quicker to eat a loaf of bread made from chita than it does to eat a loaf of bread from seorah. So that's the significance of chita in the pasuk. Now going down the line of the pasuk, the Gemara then says, with regards to, again, pas chitim lo pas seorin, how long it takes to eat a piece of bread made of wheat, mesev of ochlin belifton, as if he were leaning down eating and dipping into something, that period of time, which could be anywhere between like 3 and 9 minutes or so. Seorah. What's the significance of barley? Seorah is the tnan ha'etim kiseorah metami b'mag v'masav enu metami b'ohal. If there's a bone that's as large as a barley seed or a barley kernel, that's considered large enough to be metame, one who comes into contact with it or one who carries it. But if you're in a ohel, if you're in a house with a etzem that's only the size of a kisora, it won't be metame but ohel, but it would still be metame b'maga uvimasa. So that's the significance of seora. Next, in the pasuk, gefen. What's the significance of gefen? Gefen kadei revius yain lenazir. That we know one of the three isurim that apply to a nazir. A nazir can't cut his hair, the nazir can't be metame mace, nor can a nazir drink any wine. So how much wine would be considered a violation of an isur of the raisa? It would be drinking a revius of wine. So we use gefen to calculate how big a revius is. And Rashi points out the revius of is not really a shear of, you know, like a shot glass. It's not a set measure. It's actually the revius is a different when it comes to wine as opposed to the revius of water. They're different in terms of measuring a wine. So that's why gefen is the shear for a nazir. Next thing in the list, the Gemara says, Te'ena. What's the significance of Te'ena? Ki gro geris l'hotzah Shabbos. We can't carry on Shabbos. So if a person violates a hotzah, he gets an iser skila and a chiv chatas. But it has to be a significant shear. How much is considered a significant shear of carrying? If you carry even something that's the size of a krogeris, which is a dried fig, that would be a violation of hotzah on Shabbos. Now, rimon, the last line of Amun Aleph here, what's the significance of a rimon, a pomegranate? Ki detzan, the Mishnah tells us, this is Maseches Olos, that kol kli bali batim, if I have a utensil, and shi'urim kirimonim, that the shear is a rimon, which means what? If I have a kli that functions, that's makabel tumah. Let's say I make a hole in the kli where it can no longer be functional, so now it's tahor. Only kelim are tameh. A rock doesn't become tame. A piece of wood doesn't become tame. If I have a vessel that's no longer functional, that's not a kli. That's just a piece of pottery. It's a piece of china. So if I have a kli that has a hole the size of a pomegranate, that makes this pot, this bowl, no longer functional, and that would be considered tohor. So rimon is significant for the halachos of tumah v'tahara. Eretz zeis shemen. What's the significance of the olives? So am Rabbi Yosi, b'Rabbi Chanina, eretz shekol shiurea kazesim. Why do you call eretz zeis shemen? Because it's a land where all the shiurim are the shiur of kazayas. Where it says kol shiurim, every shiur. V'ha ika hanach damrim. Didn't we just list how we have other shiurim? We have the shiur of the gefen and seor achita. Not every shiur has to do with the kazayas. Ella eretz shirov shiurea kazesim. That it's a land of Eretz Yisrael where most shirim are kazayas. You need kazayas of matzah, kazayas of this, kazayas of that. Most shirim kazayas gets the most fanfare. So that's what means Eretz Zei Shemen. So we don't need to bring an example of kazayas because there's so many examples. And then finishing off the last item in the pasuk is dvash, which is dates. Dvash is kikoseves agasa. When it comes to a large date, b'yom ha-kippurim, how much does a person have to eat to violate the issur of eating on Yom Kippur? If a person eats the size of a kikoseves, which is the size of a date, so then he violates the issur of achil Yom Kippur. Either way, we have that this pasuk of Eretz Chita V'Sorah V'Chulu is not talking about the order of which to say the bracha on. It's telling me that each one is significant. Lagabi shiurim, nothing to do with brachas, nothing at all.
So the Gemara.
So according to them, there is no order. According, there's no such thing as an order. If you hold that this pasuk is simply to serve as a shear, there's no order according
so
to them.
Shiva tamim, but without order,
exactly. Then the rest. Exactly. But the response back is, the one who holds that this pasuk does teach us that there is an order, which is how we paskin. That you have to go and order the pasukim, the pasuk of Chita Sarah and so on. So how do they address this whole long discussion? That doesn't each one represent a shear? We know there's a klal. You can't learn two different halachas from one pasuk. So does Chita teach me the pasuk of the din of the Chita, the shir of Tumah? Or does Chita teach me about the order of brachos? Which one is it? So if you assume it's to teach me the haktim, the hierarchy of brachos, so what do I do with the drashas about shirim? So the idach, the response of the other one is, honey, shirim, those shirim, behedya, miksiva, are they mentioned explicitly in the Torah? The Torah doesn't tell me Chita legabi hilchos Tumah. It doesn't say Seora legabi Tumas Meis. So it's not a real drasha. Ella midrabanan v'kra esmachta bam. It's in the smachta. But the real drasha of the pasuk of Eretz Chita Sar v'chulu is telling me lahakdim which one to say the bracha on first. The Gemara now says, Rav Chista Rav Hamnuna havi yasa b'sudasa. They're one sitting at a meal. Aisu lekamayu tamri v'rimoni. They brought in front of them a date and the rimon, a pomegranate. So remember that the date is the last one on the list. The rimon, if you look at the pasuk, just to make sure everything's clear in everyone's mind, the order for the rimon, it says Eretz, Chita, V'Sora, V'Gefen, V'Tein, V'Rimon. Rimon's number 5. And then it says Eretz, Zei Shemen, V'Dvash. Zei Shemen is number 6. And the Dvash tomorrow would be number 7. So if you and I had not seen the following Gemara, if we haven't remembered this from when we learned it when we were younger, I would have said, well, Rimon should come first, because Rimon is number 5 on the list, and the Dvash Tamarim, the date is number 7 on the list. So Rav Chista, Rav Hamnuna, again, were sitting at a Suda, and they brought in front of them both a Tamar, a date, and Rimon, a pomegranate. Shaka Rav Hamnuna, Baruch Atamre, Bereisha. Rav Hamnuna said a bracha on the date first, even though that was the last one on the list, number 7. So Amar le Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, Lo Sfir le Mar, do you not hold of Lahad Amar of Yosef, Yitay Mother say Rav Yitzchak, that statement which we saw on Amid Aleph, that Kol HaMuktam B'Pasuk, Zeh Kolim LeBracha, which everyone's mentioned early in the Pasuk, that should be had the Bracha recited over it first, and since Rimon is mentioned number 5, and Dvash is only mentioned number 7, you should say the Bracha on the Rimon, not the Tamar. Amar le responds back, Zeh Sheni La'aretz V'Zeh Chamishi La'aretz. It's not so clear. It goes based on the word Aretz. So it says Aretz twice in the pasuk. It says Aretz in the beginning, Aretz at the end. So it goes not in order of the whole pasuk, but which one's closer to Haaretz. So since Rimon is number 5 to the first Aretz, and Dvash Tamarim is 2, number 2 to the second Haaretz, so Dvash Tamarim trumps the Rimon. That's the Chiddush. So the Gemara says, Amr le man yav le nagra de parzla v'nesh ma'incha. Who's going to what? Give me like the axe or something? And the I don't know, the legs, how do they define this in English?
Legs. If only we had feet of steel so we could follow you all over the place.
Okay, feet of steel to continue to go wherever you go. Havai, we should be zoch to learn from you more often. That's a very nice statement. It's very nice in English, actually. Okay, if you look at Tosas in the top here, the second Tosas down, Zeh Sheni La'aretz. He writes, Mikol makom, heichad ika chita v'zayis. Let's see if chita and zayis. Chita is number one, and zayis is number one also to the second arts. So which one, Tosos, which one comes first? Is it going to be chita, which is number one, or zayis, which is number one? Or you have saorim and tamarim, saorim, which is number two to arts, and tamarim, which is number two to the second arts. Which one wins? They're both one and one. They're both two and two. So he says, Avagav deshavin la'aretz, even though they're equally close to a word haaretz, mikol makom hamuktam b'pasuk tainu la'aretz rishon yakin lebracha. The one that's closer to the first haaretz is better than the one to the second haaretz. So even though both chita and zeh shemen are both number one to haaretz, the number one to the number one haaretz is better than the number one to the number two haaretz, and same with the seora and the dvash tamar. It is, yeah, because Rimon's number five. We're talking about when they're both number one, two aretz, or both number two. But Rimon's number five. Right? Rimon's all the way in the bottom of the list. Rimon's the last thing you should say the bracha. So let's say you have, now that we know this halacha, if you're sitting there at your Leil Rosh Hashanah, you have all your simanim at the table. You have an apple, you have a fig, you have a pomegranate, you have a date. Which one should you say first? So according to this halacha, as Rav Shlomo Zalman said, the apple, Rav Shlomo Zalman says you should say the bracha on the tamar, the date, because the date is number two to the aretz, while the tein and Rimon are what, number three, or number four and five on the list. And therefore, the Tamar comes first. Gemara now says, halfway down, Mem Aleph, Amin Beis here, the Gemara says, Itmar, have you lefneim te'enim v'anavim? You have in front of you figs and grapes, besoch hasuda. So this is not a question anymore of shivas aminim, this is a question of eating during the meal other types of fruit. You know, saying a bracha of ha'etz on fruit during the meal. This becomes a very confusing topic, so I'm not going to discuss any halach l'maisa right now, but we'll see what at least the superficially, what the Gemara explains here. So, itimar hevi lefneim teinim v'anavim, and typically fruit is not considered part of the meal. It's considered a dessert, considered something different. Meals are considered that which satiates you, mizonos, or meat. Protein and carbs are considered food that satiate, that fill a person's meal, and fruits are considered sweets, desserts of some sort. So, amar Rav Huna, tunim bracha lefneim, vein tunim bracha lacharem. So I'm having them during the course of a meal that I said hamotzion. I'm benching afterwards. So if I bring the fruit to the table, I need to say ha'etz, but I don't have to say a bracha acharona because they're going to be subsumed under the rest of the meal with the birkas hamazon at the end. That's the understanding of Rav Huna. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, tunim bracha lefneim. They say a bracha before eating fruit during the meal, vein tunim bracha lacharem. But you don't have to say a separate bracha acharona. Rav Sheshis comes along and argues in Amar Tunim Bracha Bein Lefneim Bein Lacharem. You need to say Bracha both before and after the fruit, even though it's in the course of a meal. Shein Lachadavar Shetan Bracha Lefanav Vein Tan Bracha Lacharav Elapas Habavakism. We never have a situation where you only need a Bracha before and no Bracha afterwards. Every food item needs a Bracha both before eating it and afterwards. The only exception is a Pas Habavakism, which is type of cake or cookies, and three machok is what exactly is pas babakissin. It could be crackers and matzah of some sort. That pas babakissin, the din is, if you bring it during the suda, according to Rav Sheshis at least, you would have to say a bracha beforehand, bring it to the table, but you would not have to say a bracha afterwards because it would be covered by the benching afterwards. We don't pask like this, legabe pas babakissin. Pas babakissin is covered typically by the motzi beforehand, but this is also a confusing topic. If you bring a dessert to the table of cake and cookies, whether or not that warrants its own bracha at the end or not. So then the Gemara says that pligi the Rabbi Chiya, the Rabbi Chiya pas poteres kol mine meichel, v'yayin poter kol mine mashin. He assumes that bread exempts all foods that are brought during the course of the meal, and when it comes to wine, wine exempts all liquids during the meal. So a person drinks hagafen, and he drinks wine, he drinks grape juice, he does not have to say a separate shahakol afterwards if it's brought during the meal. Now this is interesting because the Mishnah Berurah has a suffix. What happens if a person, let's say, does this halacha true that yain is poteres kol mashkin? Is it only true if a guy has a revius of yain? Let's say a guy's got a little sip of wine. Does that also exempt all the drinks during the course of the meal? So let's say, for example, you had a kiddush, and you know the guy makes a kiddush, and you have a little sip of grape juice, but less than a revius. And then at the kiddush, you have some mizonos, you have some crackers, you have some chulim, and you want a drink of soda afterward. You have to say a shahakol on that soda. During a meal, a bread meal, that's not shayach. A bread meal, you don't say shahakol on drinks during the meal. But at kiddush, you would say a shahakol on the soda. But I had a little sip of grape juice beforehand. So the Berlach has a sapik. He says he's not sure if this halach of yain is poteres kol mine mashim, if it works only if you had a revius or even less than a revius, it exempts it. So he says if that's a situation, a person should either make sure to have a revius of wine, so it certainly does cover the drink, or if he has less, if he has pachos, he should not drink soda during that kiddush because he has a suffix, whether he should say a shakol or not say a shakol. What you could do if you only have a pachos merivius of grape juice is say a shakol on candy, that's solid, and that would cover a potential shakol on the liquids as well. The story is that the Gemara says that if I have a meal without bread, not a bread meal, if I'm eating a suda without bread, a kiddush where there's no bread, if I say bracha on hagafen, that drink will cover any drinks. I don't have to say a shahakal during the rest of the kiddush. But the Be'er Lach is not sure if that's only true if I have a revius of wine. But let's say if pachas mi revius of wine, will this halacha still hold true? That he's not sure, and that's why he gives the recommendations I just laid out. Gemara now says, Amra Papa. Hilchasa, what's the bottom line with regard to bringing a fruit to the table? Hilchasa, devarim haba machmas suda, besocha suda. That which comes because the suda, such as like kugels and meats and chicken, that's really part of the meal. Ein tuna bracha lo lefneim, lo lacharem. You don't need to say bracha before you eat it. You don't say bracha afterwards. That's part of the meal. That comes machmas suda. Veshalom machmas suda, that which comes not because of the meal. Comes just to add sweets, you know, some flavoring, some fruit. Then the din is tun and bracha lefneim. You do need a bracha before him. Vein tun and bracha lacharim, but there is no bracha achrona afterwards. And that which comes laachar suuda, which Rashi says referring to fruits themselves, they come as dessert. So that din would be tun and bracha bein lefneim bein lacharim, require brachas before and afterwards. Again, halacha ma'is, this becomes a very confusing topic, so I'm not going to go into it right now. Let's now go quickly finish this finish a daf. The Gemara says. Shalu as ben zoma ben bnei ma amru dvarm haban machmas suda besocha suda einem tunim bracha lo lefneim lo lacharem. What's the reason why food that's brought during the meal for the meal doesn't require bracha beforehand nor afterwards either? Amalam hol pas potartem, since the bread exempts it, it covers all the foods over the course of the meal. Ihachi, the Gemara says, yai nami niftere pas. So why doesn't bread, if I'm drinking wine during my bread meal, I do have to say hagafen on the wine? Why not? If bread covers everything that comes during the meal, so shouldn't it cover the wine as well? And the Gemara answers and responds, Shaini yayin, the gorim bracha la'atmo. Yayin, the bracha of a guffin, stands alone, stands as a separate concept. As Rashi says on the top of Mem Bezim and Alf, and we'll stop with this, the gorim bracha la'atmo, bekame mekomo suba. We have many situations where the bracha of a guffin comes, u'mivarchin alav, ava pishalo hayutzichin l'shtiyasa, that you say the bracha even though you don't need to drink it. So if I say, let's say, a gafen under the chuppah for a wedding or Abdallah, these are situations where you say the bracha where you may not have to drink it, it's just there simply as a bracha and without having to drink it. This becomes a whole other discussion whether one actually has to drink a gafen when you're using it as part of a mitzvah, such as Abdallah and such as under the chuppah. Okay, so we'll stop here, Mizrach Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.